Hello, and thanks for downloading another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. My name's David Kendra, and this week we'll have what passes for highlights from both the Halifax and Hartlepool games. But the Hartlepool game does contain a story about a monkey from one of our commentators, Nick Keith. So to start with, we'll start with the highlights from Halifax. This was a lunchtime kickoff for the BT Sport on Saturday, and commentary from Nick Keefe and Chris Bell.
Now Connor Oliver for FC Halifax Town plays out to Costello on the left-hand side, midway inside the guys at half. Costello is making some good ground here, cuts inside, thinks about the shot, fakes the shot, cuts inside again, goes for goal, and it's a brilliant strike. It's a wonderful goal from Matt Costello. You cannot argue with the skill and the play of the Halifax attacker. The defending wasn't its best though by Geisley, but it's a wonderful right-footed strike. And with 24 minutes on the clock, it's FC Halifax Town 1, Geisley 0.
Well, it's taken a moment of real quality to wake this match up in West Yorkshire this Saturday lunchtime. And Geisley will look at that and say, poor defending, why did people stand off, how did he get past four men? But I think sometimes you just have to say that was real class and the finish was absolutely excellent.
I'd say it's a wonderful strike.
Well, look, you don't walk around with a man bun unless you're pretty confident in your abilities, Chris. And he's shown that he can walk the walk as well. So fair play to him.
And now McDonald on the right-hand side. Costello plays the 1-2. Plays a good ball in towards McDonald, but a great sliding challenge comes in from Marcus Williams. But the ball goes behind for an FC Halifax Town corner.
Well, Halifax are now getting a lot more attacking play. The game's got a little bit more stretched, and you get the impression if they were to score from this corner, then that would be the thing put to bed, wouldn't it, Chris?
Certainly feeling that. And a corner for FC Halifax Town on the right hand side, and the ball goes in, and it's a free header for Matt Brown. You just can't defend like that. Halifax with a free header from a corner, and the Shaman lead 2-0.
Well, you would struggle to say that Halifax don't deserve that. They've not given the Lions any chances to test their goalkeeper. They've done a perfectly good job of marshalling the Lions away from their area, and now they've taken the chance to put this game, as I said a moment ago, to bed. And at 2-0 to the Shaman, you would struggle to believe that there's anything in this for us today.
He just cannot defend like that.
No, it was a free header in the box, ostensibly unmarked. Whether it's a good bit of movement or a sleepy bit of defending makes absolutely no difference. Everyone knows what you're supposed to do from a corner, and to leave one of the players so clearly without any attention in the 6-yard box is just poor.
It's appalling. It really is.
It's turned into a lovely sunny afternoon here after the earlier rain, and it's also turned into a lovely sunny afternoon on telly for the home team. They'll be delighted with that. 2-0 it finishes to Halifax, a clean sheet and a local derby victory for the Shaman. Geisley back to the drawing board before the visit of Hartlepool on Monday.
Following on from that, Hartlepool came to Nethermore, and due to technical difficulties we didn't get much actual commentary from this particular game, but we did get a particularly interesting story about the origins of one of the most famous myths surrounding Hartlepool, told by Nick Keefe.
So in the times of the Napoleonic Wars, Tom, it was apparently a done thing that the French's ships would sometimes have like a monkey on them as a mascot, just for the amusement of the crew. Sometimes they'd even dress them up in like a crew uniform, just for fun. That's all backstory.
I'm learning.
They didn't tell you that in high school, in compulsory Key Stage 3 history classes. So the story goes that a French ship was wrecked just off of the northeast coast, and all of the crew didn't make it alive to the shore. In fact, the only survivor was a monkey who may or may not have been dressed in a maritime uniform. And the people of Hartlepool were aware that Napoleon had spies all over the places he was trying to fight against. And they had never seen a Frenchman before. And they saw this monkey and they thought, this must be a Frenchman. This is what a Frenchman looks like. So they took him into the town and they interrogated him. And they interrogated him and he refused to answer yes or no to any of their questions. So in the end, having been unable to extract any important strategic information from this Frenchman, they hung the monkey in the town square.
I really have learned. I mean,
it's a true myth. It's probably not a true story, but it's a definitely real myth with its own Wikipedia page and everything.
Oh, and if it's on Wikipedia, you know it's true.
Uh-huh, I didn't write it.
Up towards Rodney on the right-hand side plays Jake Cassidy in. Jake Cassidy in a foot race now with Jake Lawler. He's got down the right-hand side. Jake Cassidy tries to play a low cross in. It falls to a Hartlepool man. It's still not cleared. It's the Hartlepool number 12 who scores. And Jonathan Franks had a free shot in the penalty area from Jake Cassidy's deflected cross. And Hartlepool lead. It's Geisley nil, Hartlepool 1. Ball played in. Geisley in the final third, loose possession. The referee puts us all out of our misery. It has not been a classic game. It has been a bottom of the table encounter in every possible way. Hartlepool have their first win of the season here. A goal scored by Jonathan Franks. Geisley's defence completely turning off just a couple of minutes into the second half after a first half where, well, really, it was very short on quality indeed and very short on goal mouth opportunities. The Lions had a couple of opportunities. A ball played in by Alex Perver that Frank Mulhern nodded off the underside of the crossbar and away, and then in the second half Danny Lowe's shot parried away by Scott Loach. A looping header from Coyote Odejai bringing a magnificent save from Scott Loach. But ultimately the Lions did not do enough to warrant a point, much less a win. It finishes here at Nethermoor. Geisley nil, Hartlepool United 1.
Well, Dave, you're absolutely right. Bottom of the table encounter, our third in fact in a row. And in those three games against Torquay and Halifax and finally Hartlepool, in truth, we haven't deserved anything in total from those three. We were lucky against Torquay that when we continued to attack, their defence was one of the most open and full of holes that I've seen since we were promoted to the National League three seasons back. But against Halifax and against Hartlepool, we've created almost nothing of note. We've done very little to test goalkeepers. We have not represented the shirt very well at all. And unless something significant changes, not necessarily in the endeavour of our play, there are honest players out there doing what they can individually. But unless something dramatic changes in the quality of the output of our team, in terms of the attacking play, in terms of the defensive concentration, and just in terms of the tempo, the rhythm, the incisiveness of passing, the ability of players to make vital interventions at the back and vital finishes up front, then we will sink without a trace this season. It's not good enough.
Well, yep. How many more ways can you say it's just not good enough?
Any team can go through a poor spell in form, Dave. Any team can go through a patch of low confidence. What is particularly frustrating was that we had a run of fixtures against teams who were similarly poor, and we scraped a win that we didn't deserve in honesty on the balance in play against Torquay, and then deserved nothing and got nothing from the two games over the bank holiday weekend. And having tried all of the players in the squad, I think we've seen three different formations on Saturday, and one of them, the second one, was carried forward to today. Nothing has changed the overall output of our play. We are slow, we're predictable, we can hold on to the ball in midfield without going forward, or we can lump it long and lose it. Those are the two things that we do when we have the ball, and neither of them is going to win us goals and get us points on the board. He has to think of something different. He can try ASAP.
After the game, Tom Feeney caught up with Adam Lockwood in what proved to be his final interview as Guiseley manager.
Tom Feeney with Adam Lockwood after the 1-0 loss against Hartlepool United. Adam, just first of all, how do you sum that up?
Well, it was disappointing, innit? When we had a few chances early on. Take the lead, it's a different story, but you can go on and on and on about that. And we've got to be more ruthless, and that's where it boils down to, really. We had chances, we had half chances, but it takes somebody to be ruthless in an occasion, and you score, it becomes a different ball game altogether then. So obviously disappointed.
When looking at the chances, I suppose one of the main ones you have to say, Odigai, really just an incredible save by their keeper.
Yeah, I think there were a few occasions where I still believe you have to put it in, whether it's Kay or anybody else. But he came on and settled him a bit, and it's not always pretty, but it causes problems in their box. I thought it did, but I was really disappointed that we didn't capitalise on that and were a bit smarter.
And in terms of the changes, obviously quite a few were made going into this game, and it just is a case of giving all the players that opportunity. Do you feel they took them today in terms of the performance?
Some did, some didn't. I think everybody's who's in squads played a part so far, and people have to stake the claims for the shirt and make it where the first on the team sheet, and we ain't got enough that have at the minute, so that probably leads to us problems, and we have a discussion about where we want to be and what we want to do, and you have to do it, and like I say, make sure you're there week in, week out, and be counted.
And looking at someone like Matt Fadzian, obviously, 10 minutes in, he looked like he was causing them problems. It's just a shame that he had to go off injured.
Yeah, disappointed for him. These things happen, though, and you have to be strong-minded, and he is that, and he'll have to assess where he's at first, and then hopefully makes a speedy recovery and gets back involved.
And obviously the way it is, the games, there's one on Saturday coming up, Leighton Orient away. It's going to be a good test for the side.
They're all tests, no matter who you play, and everybody knows that. Everybody connected with the club every week. They're big tests, so Saturday will be no different.
So the big news, of course, is that Guiseley have parted company with Adam Lockwood and Dave Penny. The news broke on Wednesday evening. After two straight defeats at Halifax and against Hartlepool. And so we look to the next weekend's game against Leighton Orient, not really knowing at the moment who's going to be in charge. We are told by our chairman that there will be a new manager in place by the beginning of next week. So what will happen, we do not currently know. But certainly there are a number of players there who will be certainly playing for places in the new manager's team, certainly looking to catch the eye of any potential new coach. So we have some hope, I guess, as we go to Brisbane Road for the very first time on Saturday against Leighton Orient. It was a disappointing day at the office for Guiseley Vixens as they suffered a 6-0 defeat away at Huddersfield Town Ladies. Goals coming from Katie Mallin, Emily Heckler, Hannah Campbell and Danielle Whittam. Defensive errors allowed Huddersfield to start the scoring. Mallin closed down a miscontrolled ball from Clam Clark before charging through and putting the ball beyond Beth Davies. Gasly did have chances in the first half, the best coming from Debs Hastings. Wrong-footing O'Marker, going through into the box, but a good recovery run from Vicky Abbott saw her block the shot. Two goals in quick succession for Heckler put the game further out of Geisley's reach. Another mistake was capitalised on and Heckler drifted into the box with a similar goal to the first. Minutes later she got on the end of a loose ball which held up in the air heading beyond the keeper's reach. The second half started much brighter by the Vixens attacking early down the right flank, but the end product was missing. Davis produced a fantastic save from close range when she got a strong hand to Heckler's thumping effort. Campbell got on the score sheet in her debut game for Huddersfield when she got on the end of a dropping ball to head it comfortably into the net, making it 4 to the home side. A long-range effort by Whittam evaded everyone and went all the way past Davis, dipping under the crossbar for 5, and moments later Charlotte Higginson got her marching orders for an apparent kick-out after a late tackle on her from behind, making the game even harder for the Vixens. The last chance of the game came to Huddersfield's. Malin drilled a free kick into the box where Campbell got ahead to it, wrong-footing Davis and seeing it hit for the side of the net. It finished then, Huddersfield Town Ladies 6, Geisley Vixens 0. After the game, Oliver Coulthard caught up with Vixens manager Glenn Preston.
I'm here with manager Glenn Preston after the 6-0 loss to Huddersfield Town. What do you think went wrong?
Where to start? First of all, it's probably... And this is a statement, but it's probably the worst performance I've seen from us in my entire time that we've been at the club. It's a bad day in the office, a very bad day. It's defensive errors in the first 20 minutes. We didn't put in a single tackle in that first 20 minutes, started very slow, allowed them to get the initiative. We said that we wanted to take the war to them. We didn't do that at all today. We looked fatigued out there. We looked tired. We didn't have a lot of energy and intensity. And in all fairness, I think the score could have been far worse than what it actually was just based on the first half an hour alone. We go back into the game. I think the last 10 minutes of the first half and the first 20 minutes of the second half, we were competitive and solid. But then, you know, we've been, committed footballing suicide and been the victims of our own downfall and just gifted some of the most softest goals you're going to see all season.
Do you think defensive errors mainly was the cause?
Well, you defend collectively. So today we couldn't defend the long ball when it came over the top in the first half. So, you know, we didn't apply pressure high up the pitch to affect the quality. And we weren't compact. Well, like I said, we didn't have the work rate. So it's a very much a collective thing. We can look at individual errors. And of course there were lots of individual errors on defending in and around the penalty box. But it was a collective that was a huge breakdown today.
There was a red card halfway through the second half. What did you see of that?
I didn't see anything of it, but I've obviously heard, and no one's really contesting it, so it sounds like it was our players kicked out after their players gone straight through the back. The referee's been stood a few yards away from it, seeing it straight red, and by all accounts, we haven't got too many complaints.
So some steep learning curves, and what are you going to do going forwards?
Well, the only real positive from today is the team that we've put out to face Huddersfield today will not resemble the team that we put out over the next few weeks. When we say we've got 10, 11 players missing, most of those players will be coming back into the first team. 6 or 7 of them are our best players. We're a completely different animal when those players come back in, and I think we'll hopefully see that in the next few weeks. And so that's what the players need to just hang on to. We've started on the back foot. The circumstances with which we've come into this season are very unfavourable. But you know what, it's only 2 games in. There's a long way in this season to go, and you'll see far better performances from us. We'll just dust ourselves off and go again.
Geisley AFC have appointed a new community development manager in Steve Taylor, and following on from that, they've appointed 4 new trustees. Councillor Graham Latty is one of our local councillors and should have his finger on the pulse of the local community and its needs, along with possibly pointing us in the direction of sources of funding. Peter Gable is chairman of Geisley and District Lions Club and a long-term supporter and sponsor of Geisley. These connections also mean he'll have knowledge of the needs of the district so he can help target our projects to maximise their effectiveness. Mick Glossop, who you'll have seen on match days at Nethermoor, going around with the Golden Gull, slips. He's the chairman of the Geisley AFC Supporters Club. This will hopefully bring even closer links between the foundation and the club supporters. Kinnan North moved from her long-term voluntary role within the foundation to become a trustee of the foundation. She brings with her a deep-rooted passion to see a broad She brings with her a deep-rooted passion to see a broad and successful role for the foundation within the district. And of course, Father David Pickett, rector of St Oswald's Parish Church, Guiseley. He is the Guiseley AFC club chaplain, and he currently organises youth and other groups within his church, and will bring a great deal of experience and enthusiasm to the foundation. We continue to be on the lookout for new trustees to have local knowledge, help identify needs within Airborough and surrounding districts so that new projects can be targeted to meet these requirements. But with the above, we think we... with the previously mentioned, we believe we have made an excellent start. The Guiseley Community Foundation is partially funded by the National League Trust with support from the Premier League and the PFA. So looking for additional funds is a constant and ongoing activity. We're looking to form a Friends of Guiseley Community Foundation scheme whereby companies and individuals can make donations to help the foundation. We're suggesting donations of £500 a year for corporate and as little as £50 a year for individuals. In return, you receive prominent thanks and exposure on website and social media. We might even say hello to you on the podcast here as well. Regular updates, photo opportunities, along with the satisfaction that comes with knowing you're helping a local charity and worthwhile causes. If you'd like further details, you can obtain these by emailing community@guiseleyafc.co.uk. That's community@guiseleyafc.co.uk. Well, that'll do it for another episode of the Lions Roar. Thanks for downloading us once again. I'm sorry we weren't able to bring you some better news this week. Obviously, everyone here at the Lions Roar wishes Adam Lockwood and Dave Penny all the best in the future. And we look forward to what's happening now going forward. We'll be at Leighton Orient on Saturday afternoon. You can join us on mixlr.com/Guiseley Radio for full match coverage of that from Brisbane Road. The first visit ever to the grand old former league club. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Lions Roar. We'll see you then, hopefully with a bit better news to bring you. Thanks for joining us. See you soon.